stains. Like, I got this little, I got this Ouija board here.
I've been on a Ouija board at one before.
But my thing is, I drive around. So, like, I'm at work, I'm driving from destination, I'll just see a sign every now and then. It's like state sale. So, I don't follow them or know when they're going to open. It's just like drive by. I'm like, right. Pop in. You know, unfortunately, eBay has made it to where. So, like, when I was a kid, dude, my dad, and I was there when it happened, we went to a garage sale. This dude had a German Mauser and a British infield rifle. Mm-hmm. Both of them, sold them to my dad for $50. And they both worked. Like, we got them, he went home, he cleaned them, we went to the gun shop, they sold him the proper ammo, we went to the range,
fired
him. And they worked, and I don't know whatever happened to them, but yeah, $50 at a garage sale. You know,
the way I got into the business of reselling and vintage stuff, and the way I started my two online stores, I was in traffic one day getting in the office, and it was backed up. I wasn't going anywhere fast. It was a Friday, and I looked, and there was a sign that said estate sale, and I'd never been to one before, so I decided to go. And you know, I spent $40, and I made $300. So I was like, yeah, I guess I could do this. So what I would do is, whenever on Fridays when there was bad traffic, I would hit estate sales on the way to work, and just kind of blew up from there.
Just get random stuff?
Electronics, sewing machines, that kind of stuff. One of those guys. I can repair those things, so they're the best for me to sell.
Well, speaking of things, here we are. It's episode 7. It is pretty close to Thanksgiving.
Yep.
This is, you know, it's Thanksgiving will be on Thursday. This is Monday. So, This will be kind of our Thanksgiving episode, as it were. So we're going to spend Thanksgiving playing with toys.
As usual.
And talking about old horror magazines. The title of this episode is going to be Fright Rags, guys. So break out your old issues of...
Eerie and Creepy and Monsters of Filmland.
And kick back and join us. But before we get started with the magazines and the newspapers and these cool old vintage posters, we got a couple of announcements. Scott over here is wearing a special t-shirt. I want to see what that's all about.
I am wearing my Swamp Thinker t-shirt today. For you guys can't see, it's a image of Swamp Thing, and he's in the pose of the Thinker, the famous Thinker statue. It's the Swamp Thinker. I showed this to Bernie Rice earlier this year. He was cracking up laughing. He'd never seen it before. And then he wondered if they were stealing, if he was losing some money somehow by.
It seems like the industry has done a really good job of trying to screw Bernie Rice out of some money.
Oh, yeah. He's got some stories about that, too.
So you saw that Justice League Dark trailer?
Yeah, I'm pumped.
That looks badass.
I am pumped. Yes, I grew up a humongous Swamp Thing fan. I was always enjoyed the artwork, the horror artwork from Creepy and stuff. And I used to get Heavy Metal magazine when I was young. I used to look at the covers in the store and just in awe. And Swamp Thing was kind of my number one superhero. You know, I grew up in South Louisiana. He was from Louisiana. I love the storyline. The movie came out when I was 10 years old, so it, I was 9 years old when the movie came out, and it was just that was the perfect age for me to get into it. And I have been a devotee of Swamp Thing for a long time. You can actually call me Swamp Thing if you want. I plan on cosplaying as him here in the near future. So,
well, that's actually what we are doing. So, since Scott came on and he's become one of our cadre of contributors, and he and I are working together on some special projects, He's about to take some admin access, and he's going to be able to start doing some stuff on Scary Dad when I'm not around, which is going to be great because I don't like always having to work. So if you want to talk to Scott via the website, you're going to be known as the Swamp Thang.
That's correct.
That's THANG, kind of like Wild Thang.
You know where a Swamp Thang came from? I actually have a comic book called Swamp Thing, which is about, is no lie, it's about a nude model who somehow gets genetically mutated with a plant.
Nice. I like Poison Ivy.
Yeah, except with nudity and other things.
Good stuff. So we're also got a couple other things. I'm feeling my David Letterman sorting papers thing going on here before we even get into the main topic. We're going to add a little spice to the cast here. When I was looking around for some ideas, I happened upon, I just kind of stumbled on an idea, and then I clicked on a link, and then it occurred to me that this was like the best idea I had all day. You know, history is full of very interesting, scary, and horrible things.
Yes.
And so I just clicked over to see what this day in history, and this episode will be dropping on November 28th, the Monday right before Thanksgiving. So I was wondering what happened on November 28th. So go back in time. In 1814, the London Times is for the first time printed by automatic steam-powered presses, signaling the beginning of availability of newspapers to a mass audience. So it's kind of serendipitous that our discussion is going to be about horror magazines and newspapers that kind of have seemed to gone away because of the rise of the internet and digital print. So that would have been enough, but then a little bit further down the line, get this. November 28th, 1972, the last executions occurred in Paris. Claude Buffet and Roger Bontemps were guillotined at the La Santé prison. So 1972, I was born in 1975. So 3 years before I was born, people in Paris were still getting guillotined.
And that would be, that's just a horrible way to get executed. That is, ooh, man.
They used to pay people, or, you know, promise money to their families to try to blink or make some other signals after they died to try to prove that they could live on.
Right.
Yeah. Which, of course, makes sense, but, you know, the pressure drop would just kind of black you out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just the shock from the pain itself, man. You can imagine that doesn't feel too good. You know, when I first moved out here to Houston, I remember in one of the hospitals, there was a doctor. The doctor was trying to get onto the elevator. It was an old, old hospital. They had old elevators. I remember it was on the news. And when he jumped into the doors, he thought the doors were going to pop back open, and they didn't. And it was a woman in the elevator that had to sit there with the top part of his body or something.
That was actually, I think it was Hurricane Ike. When did you move here?
No, it was actually after Allison. I moved here right after her.
That was Allison. Yeah, actually what it was she was stranded in the elevator, and the elevator was stuck between floors. And he was reaching into the elevator to pull her out when the elevator came back on and severed him in half. And dropped the front part, his torso, head, arms, and torso into the elevator with her, and then it stuck again.
And so the woman was stuck in the car, the elevator car.
She was stuck in the elevator car with the dead guy for a couple hours.
Probably still going through therapy right now.
Ouch. Yeah, probably. That is not a good way to go.
No.
That's been a scene in movies before. Like, it's like some horrible, horrible thing to have happen, and it happened in real life. Yeah, also with no joke, man.
Oh, no, not at all. You know, what's funny is I closed on my house the week before. I was going to move in the week after. And the whole time I'm sitting in Louisiana wondering if my house is underwater. And we had no issues on that side of town.
To this day, so that happened in 2001.
Yes.
It's now 2016. That is the only fight I'm ever really thankful for having gotten into with an ex-girlfriend. So I worked in downtown, but I lived over here off of Westheimer in the Beltway, and I was supposed to work that night, but I was working like event promotion and stuff, and I didn't want to go out because it was raining and we had this tropical storm thing going on.
In downtown, floods so bad all the time.
Right. But I mean, what happened was Allison hit and it didn't do too bad, and then it kept going back out and gathering more water and coming back in. And so, like, the initial wave, it wasn't that bad. It was kind of just rain. It was heavy rain, but it wasn't, like, devastating floods. Anyway, she and I got into a fight over something stupid. But we fought. We argued and we fought. And then as we were fighting, I was in that point where I couldn't easily break off. So I had to just stay here and fight it out. And we were on the phone. I had to stay here and fight it out. And I kept looking at the clock and being like, okay, I'm going to be late to work, right? And got off the phone with her, called my boss. And I'm like, at this point, I'm like maybe half an hour out, like half an hour late. Call my boss, and I'm like, yo, I'm sorry. I'm just not going to make it tonight. Like, it just ain't going to happen. And he's like, no problem. It's raining. It looks like it's going to be bad. 2 hours later, I'm watching High Water Rescues at the place where my car would have been parked.
Man.
So.
No, that amazing.
Shout out to ex-girlfriends.
Appreciate you.
Thanks for picking a fight over no reason. Like, that was a good day.
The number of people that have drowned in floodwaters in Houston since I moved here is just, it's dumbfounding.
Every time they're like, don't go to work, I'm like, no problem.
Right.
Like, no problem. Like, and I realize, you know, people have to feed their kids and stuff, and I'm not diminishing that in any way. But you understand, of course, that the government wants you to go to work. Because if you don't go to work,
they get no taxes.
They have to pay out benefits for people and all that kind of stuff. The government wants you going to work. When the government tells you to stay home from work, you listen. That's all I got to say about that, right?
That is true. That is for damn sure.
So, once again, happy Thanksgiving. Seen any good movies lately?
No, actually, I've been working so much, man. But I've been doing a lot of enjoyable things. Like, one of the things you brought up a little while ago were the old horror publications back in the day. I've been working with a whole bunch of Monster Times, which was a newspaper that came out back in the early 70s. It was pretty neat. It was, but I collect all that kind of stuff.
Right.
I mean, the bulk of my collection are old Eerie's, Creepies, Monsters of Filmland, just all kind of horror stuff. Because in the 60s and 70s, there was a plethora of horror magazines and periodicals. And they had great stories, great artwork. Some of them have real cheesy stories and cheesy artwork, but they're fun to check out.
Well, yeah, I mean, I used to collect Fangoria back in the day.
Me too.
Both Fangoria and Starlog, both actually. And when I was kind of looking at some stuff for this episode, it says that, like, in 2007, their warehouse caught on fire and all of their back issues burned.
Oh, God.
So, the only back issues of Starlog and Fangoria magazine are through private collectors. So that was actually something that caused the value of those things to shoot up.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't know which way this tail fits on here. It's just kind of set in there. Anyway.
It matches. I'll be able to figure it out later.
But yeah, so where do you think it all went? Where did all the...
I think TV and movies, because it just became more common to have televisions in your home. And just like a radio. You know, radio went away once television started.
Right.
You know, radio used to be the medium that you got all your news from and everything. So it's the only thing I can explain.
See, I think, well, when I was doing research, a lot of them were owned by the same company. And when the company went bankrupt, they all kind of died at the same time. So that was your Eerie, your Creepy, and your Vampirella.
Right.
They were all established in different, you know, Eerie came out in 50-something, and Creepy came out in 64, but they all died in 83. And then they've all had, and Famous Monsters, same thing. They came out in 58, and they died in 83, because Warren Publications owned them as well.
Okay.
Then the names kind of stuck in litigation and have had little resurgences. And right now, actually, Creepy, Eerie, and Vampirella. Well, Vampirella is published by Dynamite.
Yeah.
But Creepy and Eerie are both published by Dark Horse.
Yeah.
You can still get them now.
Yeah, you still get those now. Yeah. Well, Marvel got into
But they're not magazines anymore.
Right. Marvel
they're,
got
they're
into
just
the game.
Comics.
Well, Marvel initially had magazines, all their issues, and they had a ton of titles. It's like as though they had a dartboard and with a bunch of titles, and every week they throw a dart and pick one to start, you know, publishing. Because I got a zombie. Tomb of the Zombie, Tomb of Dracula, there were just tons of titles I got at the house from Marvel.
Yeah.
And they finally got one that stuck, and that was Tomb of Dracula.
Yeah.
And that was the big one that they went with, and that's where Blade came from, and Deacon Frost, and so many characters came from that series. It's a great series, too. It's some good reading, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I also think that these magazines, they managed to kind of skirt the comics code, because it wasn't exactly comic books. If it was like an article based story,
yeah,
they could kind of skip the comics code, so they could get into some darker territory or some more sexy territory,
which they did quite often.
Right. Well, I mean, look at Vampirella. I've read a lot of Vampirella stories. I don't think I've remember any Vampirella stories, and they all pretty much just involve her bouncing around, looking like that.
Yeah, looking hot.
And then they get rebooted in the next issue. it's not high art, you know. It's good art, especially when Joe Jusco draws it, but you know, the stories aren't the most spectacular. But so we're sitting here looking at these are music magazines.
Yeah, I got a bunch of pulp magazines, music industry magazines, and horror, courtesy of a pop culture company out here in Houston. Great place to go. Go tell Robert hi over there if you ever get a chance. And
absolutely, he'll
set you up. He's a very knowledgeable guy too.
And then this is the Monster Times, and it folds out like a newspaper. So it looks like a magazine from the front, and you fold it up, and you open it up, and it's
all newsprint.
It's all newsprint, and it reads just like a newspaper. So here we've got an article about the frightening face of Rondo Hatton. And apparently Rondo Hatton was in a lot of horror movies. I'm not going to read you the story because I don't have my glasses, and I can't. I can read you the headline, but anyway.
Let me see, which episode is that?
This would be The Destroying of Monsters.
There's one, Young Frankenstein. Yeah, there it is right there. Yeah, there's some covers. This particular periodical, it was owned by Marvel, so they started brought in Spider-Man, they brought in all kind of characters also to grace the covers and stuff. So all together, I think there's 42 issues of mm-hmm. Monster Times. They only have 8 of them, but the artwork is real cool, and they have these, like, the centerfold posters. They're suitable for framing, and some of them are just real spectacular. They're great artwork. That's kind of stuff I dig.
As far as, like, and I hate the word, but as far as like a resale value, I think you'd probably get more out of some of these framed posters than you would from the covers,
yeah.
Because these posters are so colorful and vibrant, and the covers are kind of, I mean, they're neat, but...
They're more candy.
Yeah. So what's the market on these, like, old creepies and areas and stuff?
It depends on the issue. Depends on the artist. It's a real big thing is who the cover artists were. You know,
okay.
Ones by Bernie are going to be a little bit more expensive than others. But they're not, you know, they don't have the value of a mainstream character like Spider-Man or Hulk or Wolverine or anything like that.
But right.
To the fan, they're worth a lot. You know, that's the thing. Just like my my heavy metal collection. It's worth like $5 an issue. But it's worth more than that to me. So,
yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, there's what you'd call value, like street value, and then there's relative value.
Right.
In that, you know, a in-the-box, un-put-together Aurora model of Frankenstein is probably worth a couple hundred bucks. You know, like on eBay or whatever.
Yep.
I would prefer to get one that was built and unpainted so that I could build, so I could paint it and put it on my shelf.
Right.
I'd pay, you know... 40, 50 bucks. I don't know. It would depend relative, but I don't want it in the box.
Yeah,
I want
it. That's just it.
I want it so I can see it. I don't want it sealed up in the thing. I want to be able to play with it and touch
right.
it and read it.
And that's why I like my collection of horror. It's not worth a lot, so I'll pull them out and read them all the time.
Well, and that's what's funny to me is, you know, I asked a question on one of the forum groups the other day. It's like, you know, what is more satisfying, having a book that's sealed, you know, a valuable book that's sealed and graded, or having, you know, and signed, or having an original sketch or a piece of art by the same artist, you know, what's, as far as I'm concerned, if all you're ever going to be able to see is the cover, then spend the money that you would on the book.
On the art.
On the art.
Right.
You know, because this was an Art Germ cover. You're familiar with the artist Art Germ.
Yeah.
Well, it was like a $500 book. But he's got a $500 original sketch that he's selling on his Facebook page. He does draws little doodles and stuff when he's at conventions. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, and then he just sets them on his Facebook page for like $400 or $500. Okay, so I could get a...
So that would mean more to me than...
I could get a... You know, I'd rather get it in person, but...
Well, yeah.
But he's in Europe, mostly in Asia. You know, spend $400 or $500 on a piece of original art that he's got a video of himself drawing, rather than having a book I can't read. You know, so same thing. It's like, well, so much of the old comics, you know, especially like, and we talk about them all the time because we're kind of like stupid super fans, but like Bernie Wrightson, his art's so good, it just sucks you into the story. I want to keep turning the pages.
You would not believe what I saw today. Why did you mention that?
What you got?
It was given to me to see if I wanted to try to sell it on eBay, but it is a handwritten interview that Bernie did for a magazine.
Oh, nice.
Back in the 60s. Written by Bernie. He somebody sent him the questions, and he went through and wrote the answers for it to mail it back. And I got a copy. I got the actual documents now. Not even copies, the originals. Yeah, I was pretty pumped about that. It was pretty cool. And it was, the sad thing is, I've met Bernie, you know, more than once. I call him Bernie when I see him. But that still, he's like my Stan. I'm like a kid whenever I'm around him, man. It's unreal.
If we could ever land him on the show here, that would be one thing. But if he comes back to do more signings, I couldn't make Comicpalooza when he was here last, so I had a couple of things signed just because I wanted it. I'm gonna, if they announce him, I'm gonna hit up eBay and just stack.
I could give you a bunch of stuff. I brought not quite a quarter of my stuff the last time I saw him. I didn't want to give him a hand cramp.
So let's, you know, moving back to the subject of the monster magazines. I've watched a couple horror movies recently that you recommended. How do people know? Like, we've got a pretty vibrant horror community, but like, these kind of things would tell us about actors and directors and upcoming movies and projects in the works. And, you know, how do people know what to watch? You just cycle through Netflix?
That's what I do. Because the thing about it is, when it comes to movies, there's not a horror movie coming out every week. So it's not like you can go to the movies at any given weekend and pick one.
Right.
So you're pretty much stuck with a supply that has already occurred. There's no media buzz. There's no social media talk about it. So yeah, I troll through there. I'll start watching. If it looks like it's going to suck, then I'll go ahead and find something else. Or just stick with the classics.
Right. Seemed like the whole horror thing was so vibrant. I remember in The Lost Boys, when the Frog Brothers give him the comic book, I remember being a kid and being like, I want that. Like, I know that he's actually surrounded by vampires. I know this. I still want that book.
Right. You know? I told somebody today, because the way I said it, I realized what it sounded like. We're talking about comics, and he asked me what I collected. I said, well, I collect horror comics. And I was like, I'm not a frog brother, though. Don't worry. Oh, man.
Such a silly movie. So good.
It's a good movie,
though. Oh, no, it's a really good movie.
It's a very good movie.
Just, like, certain scenes. I whenever...
Whenever the shirtless guy is playing saxophone at the concert.
Oh, no, that dude's pretty awesome.
Yeah, he is. Oh, he kicks ass, man.
Yeah, that dude got chicks.
He's Swedish, isn't he? Isn't he Swedish?
I don't know.
I think so, I think.
Apparently, so one of the other podcasts I listen to, there's a podcast, it's called Boys and Ghouls. And they're out of L.A. And they do a monthly podcast where they talk about either a movie, a series of movies, or a genre of horror. And it's a guy and a girl, and they're real engaging, but they're also extremely well researched, like very detailed. Like, it takes them a month to prep and then do the show. And they did a whole episode just on The Lost Boys. And they said the guy who does the saxophone, apparently, like, he's just a saxophone player, like he's got a band, but like, he was the guy that Hollywood would go to when you need sexy saxophone player. You'd call that guy.
Listed that I get in your cell phone.
It's like, call that guy.
You know, I've run into people I used to. I haven't in a long time, but people used to always say that was Glenn Danzig. I'm like, no, it's not.
It just kind of looks like him.
It looks like it, but people thought it was Glenn Danzig for the longest time.
Old Glenn. You see that video on YouTube of him getting decked?
Yes.
He's getting knocked out. Poor guy. I mean, he's a dick, but he's old too.
I see him in concert. Jackal's coming to town here.
Yeah, I saw that you posted that. About. And Mr. Chainsaw.
They got arrested at a club, Bar Bounce, that back in the day.
Oh, yeah?
When he played She Loves My Beep. He was warned before the show not to pull it out, too. But he did it anyway. Cops were ready for him.
Oh, damn.
I love live music.
Live music, old horror magazines, horror movies.
Just call me old fashioned.
Yeah. Man, I really miss the days, man. Seriously, I used to catch up, call it, like Rolling Stone, like a lot of music magazines, but same time, it's like Fangoria and Starlog and stuff.
Scream was a good one.
And sit there and just read the articles and like...
You were mentioning how does one find out about movies now. I remember specifically in Scream magazine, there was a huge article done about the special effects involved with Pumpkinhead. I had never heard of the movie before. Mm-hmm. And that made me, I had to see it after that. Because I remember the article said they had actually made the monster. They didn't have a movie yet. Some guys were just messing around seeing what they could do. Trying to make a scary creature. And that's where Pumpkinhead was born.
Nice.
And then they were like, well, we got to make a movie about him now.
Yeah, right.
Pumpkinhead, that was some good effects. That was some
excellent effects. Yeah, actually, it's on my list. Amazon Prime has a list of free movies you can watch. Mm-hmm. And I recently went through and just like stacked up a big list. So what happened... We had talked about Season of the Witch, right? Mm-hmm. And here's a funny thing, because I watched it the other day. And my thought was, because you let me borrow that Frankenstein movie. My thought was I was going to sit down, I was going to put on Season of the Witch, I was going to watch like the first 10 minutes of it, I was going to have it all come back to me, and I was just going to put on Frankenstein. But what ended up happening was, I realized that I don't think I'd ever seen that before. Like, I'd seen parts of it. Parts of it were familiar. Mm-hmm. And the jingle was familiar, but the movie itself, and it was like Gandalf, and he's like, I have no memory of this place, like, but it was a weird partial memory thing. So I ended up sitting there watching the whole thing, and it was good. And kind of as an aside, if he didn't get that station to turn off that third channel, then it's Mr. Donovan has the highest kill count in. Of all of the movies.
Oh, yeah.
It's part of the Halloween franchise. His kill count would have been in the millions.
Yeah. So, quickly.
Quickly. So Michael Myers got nothing on that guy. So he's the most prolific in the Halloween series.
Right.
But, so I saw that. And I'm going, like, I should, if I had a Fangoria and I would have read the article, I would have known I hadn't seen it, right?
That's right. You would have had something that'd give you that information. I miss those magazines, man. And they're so they have a few still.
They're available. You can get stuff, but you have to buy them online.
You can't believe how much they cost.
They're like $8.
Well, no, they have some that they have at Books A Million and Barnes & Noble, but they're like $14, $15 for an issue.
Yeah, like for Rue Morgue. Yeah.
And they brought Monsters of Filmland is back. That's come out again. That one is $11 to get an issue. It's just ridiculous,
man. I know their print costs a lot. I mean, they've got an online presence, but it's not the same.
Well, you gotta wonder if they're pushing people online.
Well, of course, yeah, it's cheaper.
That's what it is. But at the same time, how much advertising money are you making online?
Exactly.
It's just an odd beast. But you were saying about if I watched anything lately, just real quick, I actually. Often I put a movie on while I'm working, and while I was working on all these toys the other night, I watched Children of the Corn again, which nice. Is another one that I love. And the creepiest kids, I swear, they got the perfect actors for that movie. So Malachi is just good lord.
Is the first one the one with Michelle Pfeiffer in it?
No, it's the one with what's her name from Terminator? James Cameron's ex-wife.
Oh, Linda Hamilton.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Michelle Pfeiffer was in one of them. I think she was in the second one.
Yeah, it's one of the nailed. It's, it would have taken 30 seconds to get the hell out of that town.
Mm-hmm. Those kids could drive.
And they're just creepy, man.
Right.
He who walks behind the rose.
Yeah, you don't just hang around and be like, I think we're going to grab some lunch.
Maybe there'll be somebody cool show up.
Stupid.
It's a scary movie, though, man. It's a good one.
Oh, Children of the Corn. I remember being freaked out by that when I was a kid. That's that one of those cerebral scaries because, so much, like we talked about, like gore versus superstition versus like suspense. That all kind of has them all.
Right.
Like it's got some like in your face, like I wouldn't say necessarily gore, but it's got some violence.
Oh yeah. Well, the other thing with that one is just like, what's scarier than real life?
Right.
You know, if something can really happen, you know, or you think it's possible, well, it's going to be scarier than anything else.
And you think they're not capable, think of like the Children's Crusade. Yeah. You know, like they walked, they went.
What did you think of Frankenstein?
Frankenstein was good, dude. You actually had me a little psyched up about it. You said it was so thoroughly violent, so I kind of went into it.
It comes in spurts.
Well, you know, like, not I wasn't expecting to get thrown, but I kind of just went into it expecting, like, more over-the-top violence and gore. But what they did, you know, what they did with the story was excellent. It was a cast. I mean, the cast was really good.
Tony Todd does an appearance in it.
Yeah. You know, Carrie Moss.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who played Frankenstein, I can't think of his name off the top of my head.
But yeah, no, I've seen some other stuff.
He was the guy in 30 Days of Night.
Yeah.
Which is, like, the head vampire. And he's just, I mean, he's just brutal. I mean, he's good in everything he's in. Mm-hmm. You just choose scenery. But, no, I really enjoyed it. Special effects were great. Frankenstein has always been a sympathetic towards the monster.
Yeah.
But
this one was even more so because it was told from his perspective.
Yeah.
You know, it was what he was going through. And, you know, if you guys watch the movie, it's told from his perspective and his natural voice as opposed to his monster voice.
Right.
It's really cool.
So, if you want to watch it, guys, you already know Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. I mean, it's easy enough to find. This one will be the Frankenstein that came out in 2015. And it's Prince a Little Small. Tony Todd, Carrie Ann Moss, Xavier Samuel, and Danny Houston. Rated R. We gotta make horror rated R again. All those grudge movies just don't do it for me.
Not at all. The PG. If I see a horror movie rated PG, I won't even bother seeing it.
They're
seeing the movies.
When the previews for, you know, when the movie itself isn't as scary as an old Fangoria cover, you know it's just not good.
And you know it's, when it's not going to be rated R is when it's 2 weeks before it opens and it's still not rated.
Right.
That's a good point. Because they don't want to mess you up and destroy the momentum they're getting.
Well, with that, we're going to close out episode 7. Now, the funny thing is, he and I are both collectors of this stuff, so I'm sure at some point we're going to grab some more and we will revisit this subject in the future. In the meantime, visit the subject in the now. Post comments, share it, talk to your friends, tell them we're wrong, tell them we're right, you know, whatever. We won't get our feelings hurt if you disagree. We might kill you. We might have a character study on the difference between horror and, you know, fright and gore. But, you know, we won't be mad that long. So, yeah, that's it. Hit all the buttons, and we'll catch you next time.
Stay scary, folks. Yeah.
You're welcome.